like as it pops in, it's one connective loop.
Oh, circles around.
Yeah. What's like a, it's a half circle. If it was a full circle, it would just go brain to brain. And I think that's actually what causes anxiety, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whoa. We don't even need to do the rest of the episode. If everybody would just think less, life would be simpler.
Yeah. Easier said than done.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the My Life, Your Life Together podcast. This is Zach, as always, and I am joined today by
Lexi
and Sarah.
And we are going to be talking about tacos.
Tacos.
Surprise.
Did that just give you anxiety? Like you came prepared to talk about anxiety?
A little bit. And I was like, let's talk My heart kind of went into my stomach there for a second.
Oh my God.
Wait a second.
I don't know anything about tacos. I didn't prepare for this. Are we using ground beef? Is it pulled chicken? Is there sour cream? Do people put mango on it? No, but today we're going to be talking about anxiety because it is just such a fun, lighthearted topic. We figured everybody would enjoy hearing about it, but also at the same time, the complete opposite, because it's terrifying and everybody experiences it differently. And now I don't want to say that all three of us have mastered experiencing anxiety.
Nope.
Well, no, I don't mean master, like gotten over it. I mean, like we've just mastered experiencing it.
Oh, we're expert anxiety. We're experts.
Yeah, right.
Like,
I'm so good at anxiety. It's not
easy. I got like 14, 15 years of experience. Sarah, you've got
more than that.
Yeah, just, when she was four, it all started.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's sad.
We were reading it yesterday. She's like, she's reading the outline. She's like, when did it start? The day I was born.
Pretty much.
Losing the outline.
All right, well, pull it up. Well, I mean, that was the first question I wanted to go over with, because I mean, every story needs a starting point. Mm-hmm. I remember mine being like a switch that flipped. Like when I was 15, 16 is when like I started realizing something was wrong. And I'd get like chest tightness for no reason, and I used to have really bad asthma, and so I would just like take a pew, pew, pew. I would take a few puffs of my albuterol, which would just make it so worse.
Because
like I didn't need a steroid
for
my bronchi or whatever it makes larger. And it just made the anxiety so much worse. So I did that for a few months until I would go to the allergist and asthma doctor. And he'd be like, no, your lungs are fine. And so I stopped doing that, but then just never figured out it was anxiety until like a few years after. But the question was, when did it start? And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. So Lex, you never had anxiety or said you didn't have anxiety, and then it happened. When did it happen?
So I started realizing that I had it probably like, what would you say, like a year and a half ago I started bringing it up.
I think so.
Which I didn't even realize it was anxiety. I remember for like a couple weeks straight.
It's more than a feeling.
I was like, I just one day said to Zach, I was like, I've been feeling like I can't breathe and like my chest is really tight and I'm so nauseous. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. And Zach was like, dude, that's anxiety. I was like, oh, this is terrible. Yeah. But then now that I like can recognize the feelings, I realize that I've actually had it for a lot longer than I thought, and I just didn't know that it was anxiety. I've consciously had it for like a year and a half or two, and probably had it much longer.
Subconsciously since you married me.
Probably longer.
I'm okay with that. Now I know I'm not the problem.
No, not you.
All right, what was 4-year-old Sarah like?
I feel like my story's kind of also like Lexi's, where I think I had it a lot long. Like, I think I had it as a kid, and I never like knew it was anxiety until I would say like probably mid 20s, and then I feel like I didn't even realize I was having physical symptoms until I actually started going to a therapist, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. But she started asking me, when you're having these feelings, because I knew what I was feeling, and I knew I was having anxiety. And she was like, when you're having these feelings, like, what physical symptoms are you having? I'm like, I don't know. She's like, think about it. Like, what are you feeling physically? And I was like, I feel like a pit in my stomach. I feel nauseous and my heart's racing and I feel like I can't breathe. And she's like, okay. So that's anxiety. Like, it's just crazy how it like manifests
physically. And you're like, wait a minute, but it's there from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed. And she's like, we'll work on that.
Yeah. So I feel like I've had it for a really long time, but like didn't like recognize it as anxiety until probably my mid-20s, early 20s probably.
And that was for me too. Like I remember like sometimes having those feelings and when I started to recognize that it was anxiety, I was like, but I'm not anxious about anything. I don't get it. And then getting into therapy too, like, I know we'll talk about it, but that's when she started telling me like, you don't have to like realize that there's anything wrong, but it's just your body's way of like telling you. I was like, oh, wow. Anxiety is crazy.
Anxiety transcends consciousness.
Pretty much.
I don't know if that's a real thing. I don't know. Sounds good though. Yeah. That might be the title of the episode.
Okay.
But I definitely feel like when I started getting the feelings, I didn't like label it as anxiety right away. Like I said, my parents thought it was just like my asthma acting up and I had stuff going on that summer. So they were like, oh, you're just sad about this or you're sad about that. And even after we realized it wasn't asthma, it was just kind of like this thing that was in my head. But I really want to say it only took like a year or so before like my parents and me realized that it was anxiety, but then just didn't know what to do with it because I definitely wasn't telling them everything.
Yeah.
For no good reason. It's not like I didn't think they wouldn't be supportive, especially given my father's history with anxiety and like seeing him work through it and everything. He's very open about it. So I'm allowed to say it on air for the now. We're up to 8 listeners, I think. Ooh, so wow. we're making strides. No, I'm just kidding. It's more than that. So like I initially talked about it with my parents and then it was kind of like I just found ways to get through life with the feeling rather than trying to like figure out how to get the feeling to stop, if that makes ever sense. Like, I just coped around it. I made it part of my life rather than trying to expel it from my life. So I stopped talking to them about it. And obviously that just it spiraled over.
Do you know why that you tried to just live with it instead of like figuring out?
No, I don't think I have.
It's just a thing.
Yeah. Cause I mean,
you just had to live with.
My dad had done therapy before. He had been on medication before, but like in my mind, I was like, well, I can just come over this mentally. Like there's no reason for me not to be able to overcome this.
Right.
And I don't even want to say like, it wasn't even like a faith thing. Like I was trying to pray it away or anything like that, but it was just, you know, it's just kind of there. Like it wasn't a huge aspect of my life.
Do you think it was because once you found out like this is anxiety, it was just like, was there like a kind of like, you know how if you had like a medical problem, you would treat it with medications or whatever? Do you think that you were just like, oh, it's anxiety, so that's what it is. There's nothing you can really do about it. So you just kind of have to learn to live with it type of thing? Or
I don't think so. I think once it had a name, I tried to solve the problem on my own, which is just kind of who I am as a person.
Right.
Is part of it just because of the age that you were too? Because you were like not early teens, but like mid-teens and I don't know.
Yeah, could have been. And I know a lot of my anxiety back then and honestly through my 20s up until 28 or 29 or whenever revolved around my diabetes. And like that's how it started. But I know it obviously spiraled from that into every facet of my life. And I know obviously you didn't talk about your anxiety initially, Lex.
I mean, partly because I didn't realize it was anxiety, but
right.
Yeah.
And like I remember trying to like talk to you every so often about it. And you're like, no, I don't think it's anxiety. But then once.
Well, I think for me, because it was like such a specific thing that we were like going through that I was like, well, obviously it's normal for me to feel like this. So it's fine. It's not anxiety. It's just because I'm going through this traumatic event in my life. But now I realize it's not just because of this one thing. There's some other things going on in my life.
That just kind of like exaggerated it. Yeah, or like
exactly. I think that's the thing that like actually made me realize I actually had anxiety. Yeah. So like, not that I want to be like going through. Can I say why?
Yeah.
So my anxiety, obviously, when I started realizing it was when we are actively going through infertility treatments and stuff. And
wait, we are?
Anyways. No, but like, not that I'm like happy that we're going through this, but part of me is like, if we haven't been going through this, I probably never would have like realized there's other things in my life that I have anxiety with, and I never would have like started therapy and all that stuff. So I'm like trying to look at the silver linings of things. Yeah. So,
And did you talk to anybody initially, or you were just kind of like self-identified it, then made the decision to see a therapist?
When I realized I have really bad anxiety. I had been going through like a bad breakup at the time, and I lived with my best friend who was a mental health counselor. Like, she's a licensed mental health counselor, and I knew I was having like horrible anxiety, and I was just like a mess. I was crying all the time. I was just like having mental breakdowns, and she was like, you know, maybe you should think about talking to somebody. And I was like, no, you're a mental health counselor. Like, I'll just talk to you. Yeah. And she was like, it's different. Like, I'm your best friend. Like, it's not the same when you go to see somebody who's completely unbiased, mm-hmm. who doesn't know you, who, you know, is actually counseling you and doing therapy with you. I'm not your therapist. I'm a therapist, but I'm not mm-hmm. your therapist. So I was like, no, it's fine. I'll just talk to you about my stuff. And then it took me like a couple of years to actually be like, okay, I'll go see somebody.
Yeah.
Why a couple years?
Obviously,
because you weren't ready, but like.
Yeah, I don't think I was ready. I don't think I thought like I don't need it. Like I said, I was just like, oh, I can just talk to you and I'll be fine. So I think I just kind of kept pushing it off. And I also feel like back then, like it wasn't that long ago, but I feel like there was also kind of I don't know if it has to do with the way that like we grew up and stuff, but there's like a big like stigma with like mental health. Like you don't really talk about it. And like, I feel like, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead, but
just jump wherever you want.
Okay. So the church that we grew up in, there was a huge like stigma around mental health. And it was very much so like, if you have depression or you have anxiety, then like you don't have the joy of the Lord in your heart.
Yeah.
And I remember like there was a couple people in our church that actually like pretty much got like shunned because they like came out that they had depression or anxiety or something like
wild.
That. Yeah. So it was like not really like talked about. Not that I was in that church at that point in time, but I think it was just like the way we grew up.
Yeah.
It was just like kind of get over it. And
I don't even necessarily feel like my parents agreed with that at all. So, but still, part of me was still like, oh, well, this is, I shouldn't be feeling like this. So.
Yeah, but you were surrounded by it.
Right.
And even though you were at the church, you still had like the pastors and the leadership who obviously.
And there was a lot of like, even if you were struggling with stuff, like basically put on a good face and sweep everything under the rug. Mm-hmm. And like, if we act like it didn't happen, then like it didn't
That's
happen.
Definitely biblical.
Yeah.
I remember reading that in 4th Titus.
Yeah.
Must have missed that one.
Yeah.
But I want to double back to something that you had said, because like it really sums up anxiety in a nutshell, that it took you 2 years before going to see a counselor or anything, when your best friend, who you'd obviously trust with probably any part of your life. You were living together. Yeah. She was a mental health counselor and she was like, go do it. And you were like, yeah, I'd trust you if you told me what car to buy or what, what this or what that. And then it still took you 2 years. Like, it doesn't make sense. And anxiety doesn't make sense. No, really. And people are like, well, why don't you just not think about it? It's like, if that was an option, of course I wouldn't. Of course I'd just calm down if I could. Yeah, I'd love to go for a walk in the forest and forget about it. Think
about something else. Yeah. That's my favorite one. Oh. Thank you so much.
I'm going to think about really punching you in the face with my foot.
But I actually think, like, before I realized I had anxiety and, like, not – also, I think, too, my anxiety and your anxiety are two very different things.
Very just different.
Like, mine and yours are
very, very different.
But I remember, like, when yours was super, super bad. And, like, we weren't – we were, like, pretty newly married. And I remember, like, not understanding, like – what it was like for you. And I would try to be like helpful, realizing now that was not helpful.
You were not helpful.
I would be like, it's fine. Like, just like I would be like, just don't think about it. Or like, try working out. Or like obviously those things
which
do
is a good
help.
Point, but
like, at the same time, I realize like saying those things makes it worse because you're like, obviously I'm trying to do all those things and I physically can't. And I feel like if you don't have anxiety, you don't get that you like literally cannot help like what you're thinking and what you're feeling.
Yeah.
As much as you try, like there's literally nothing that you can actually do.
That was a huge adjustment for Justin too.
Yeah.
He would say things like that all the time. Just be like, just think about something else.
And especially for Justin
too. He'll be okay.
Too, he's so like, whatever, everything's fine.
Yeah. He would just be like, oh, if I'm thinking about something, I'll just think about something else. And I was like, that's great.
My brain does not work that way.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that. Yeah. So it was like a big adjustment, but he's very supportive now, obviously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it just, it takes a while to like actually understand and comprehend. And
I think too, like I said, just like recognizing that just because your anxiety feels one way, it's not going to be like that for somebody else. And not trying to be like, oh, well, this worked for me, so just do this, because that doesn't help either.
Yeah.
So.
Did you have support from the start or ever have support?
I mean, I had definitely support from my best friend. Justin was like, sure, whatever, therapy, go for it, you know. I actually didn't start going to therapy until I would say probably like 6 months to a year after I started going out with Justin. So I think it was actually more than 2 years.
Mm.
Yeah.
Once you started going out with Justin, you're like, I need help.
Yeah.
I need somebody in my life.
Yeah. No, it was actually because I got to the point where my anxiety was so bad because of what had happened in the in my previous relationship that I didn't want. I was like, I don't want this to carry into this relationship.
Yeah.
And I don't want to take things out on him or like, you know, I don't want to.
What a super like amazing thought process though, because not a lot of people think like that and are just think like history's bound to repeat itself, which it is if you don't change what you're doing. You were like, oh, this and this was a problem.
Right.
I'm going to try and make sure that doesn't happen again.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was really supportive of me going.
Yeah.
And therapy is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it is like life changing. Like I remember the first session I went, I was like so nervous. Of course, I had so much anxiety going into my therapy appointment. And I remember telling my best friend, like, all I hope she doesn't ask when I walk in there is, so why are you here? I was like, because if she does, I'm going to lose it. And I walked in and I sat down. She's like, hi, so why are you here? And I just bawled my eyes out and I was just like a complete wreck. And I called Katie, my best friend, after my first session, and I was like, that was the worst thing. I cried through the whole entire appointment. And she was like, it gets better, I promise. And it's just, yeah, my therapist is so awesome. Like, she does, I don't know if you guys therapist does it, but she does like cognitive behavioral therapy where she teaches you how to like retrain your brain how to think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like the coolest thing ever. Yeah. Sorry, I jumped ahead.
That's good.
It's fine. I feel like these two kind of go in together or whatever. Because, like, obviously, I feel like we all have support now, so I technically didn't have to ask that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like our support all comes from kind of different but also similar places.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like friends are a big support system.
For sure.
Obviously, I have your support, Lex, and you have my support, mm-hmm. which is great. And then I remember mm-hmm. telling a lot of my friends and even, like, one of my doctors, Beth, who had been treating my diabetes for, I don't know, almost 7 or 8 years, that I was, like, starting to talk to my primary care about options for anxiety. And they're like, oh, I didn't know you had anxiety that bad. Like, mm-hmm. my best friend, who I would see all the time, he'd be like, mm-hmm. I guess I didn't realize it was that bad with you. Yeah. And it was just because, like,
you did a good job.
I wanted to be the same person on the outside for other people. Mm-hmm. So I would just keep, like, pushing the mm-hmm. fear down. And the only time that it actually came out was when I was on call at the hospital, because I was so stressed out about that and anxious about my routine being messed up that people noticed a difference.
Do you think that also has to do with, like, I don't know, this is just out there, but do you think that also has to do with, like, being a guy? Like, you kind of have to just not show that kind of stuff, or the guys don't talk about that kind of stuff, or
maybe I'd say yes. Yeah. I feel like guys definitely are less open to talking about things, especially mental like health feelings. I've always been okay with talking about feelings. Like, I never had issues like crying or telling people when I was upset or something. But it was really just like, I didn't want people to think of me differently or think I couldn't do certain things, kind of deal.
Yeah.
Whether that's because I'm a guy or not.
Right.
Who knows? But yeah, they would just say, I didn't realize it was that bad. And I was like, I guess to an extent, I didn't realize it was that bad until we started going through fertility treatments and stuff. And that's when I could talk to my primary care, because I would always, like, talk to her at physicals or portal messenger, be like, super anxious. She's like, cool, do you want to do something? I'd be like, nah, I got it under control. And she'd be like, okay. And so, like, we had this, like, a game of back and forth. And then the last time I was like, Trish, I'm ready.
Super anxious.
Like, I don't even think I had to bring up anxiety. All I had to say was, Trish, I'm ready. She's like, all right, what do you want? I was like, I think I want to do a medication. And she's like, okay, but I strongly encourage you to go to therapy.
Yeah.
And so therapy was her idea.
Yeah.
And so she's like, well, we'll get you on baseline meds and then we'll titrate you up. But in the meantime, look for a therapist. Yeah. So I had like a 4-week telemed follow up with her just about how it was going. And she was like, all right, you're good. Do you want to up it a little bit? I was like, yeah, I still need some more. She's like, did you look for a therapist? I was like, no, I haven't gotten to it. She's like, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And I think that's when either I asked you or I had Lex ask you. Yeah.
I think it was actually that same day.
Yeah.
You're like, all right.
Trish is yelling at me and I want to be a compliant person. Yeah. So
I feel like meds are really helpful and they're great. But I feel like if you don't, like I said, the whole CBT thing before, like if you don't learn how to think the right way, the way my therapist put it is your brain is basically like a muscle, just like every other muscle in your body. So if you think of working out and you're training your muscles wrong, you're squatting wrong the whole time, you're deadlifting wrong, you're going to hurt your back, or you're going to keep doing the same thing over and over and over if you don't learn how to train the right way.
Yeah.
And that's basically what your brain is doing. Mm-hmm. You think, oh my God, this is the worst thing. Every single time something bad happens, your brain goes to the worst, you know, spot. And then that's where anxiety comes from. And you're thinking, what if, and, you know, worst case scenario and what's going to happen. And every time something happens and that's how your brain reacts, that's just like the neural pathway that your brain takes every single time.
Yeah.
But when you learn how to think the right way and you're training your brain the right way, you actually create like new neural pathways. And that's how you're, like, brain starts to think the right way. It's really cool.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I remember a few months after therapy, I listened to an audiobook basically about rewiring your brain, like you were saying.
Yeah.
And the author is a licensed mental health counselor. Obviously, it's not just some buddy off the street trying to make a quick buck. But It was a really helpful book, I think, because like I was hearing about it in therapy, but like 1 hour a week kind of wasn't it.
Yeah.
It was enough, but it wasn't enough at the same time.
Yeah.
So like listening through the book and hearing like how the physiology actually works was fascinating, especially to somebody like me. So that was fun.
Yeah. I honestly like did shockingly well when I first started going to therapy.
I thought
therapy.
You were going to say I did shock therapy. And I was like, hold on a minute.
Electric convulsion therapy.
They never brought that up at my session.
No, I did shockingly well once I actually started CBT with my therapist. I remember like after like, I don't know, 3 or 4 sessions. Like I pretty much cried through the first like 3 sessions.
Yep.
Like just cried the whole entire time. And then like I remember like after a few sessions I came in, she was like, "How are you?" And I was like, "I'm good." Like I did this and I did that, and I was like telling her, and she was like, "You really like just used what I told you and like figured out like how to make it work in your brain." And I was like, I feel like I'm the type of person that will just be like, you tell me what to do and I'll do it. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't figure out up until that point of like, I was like, I know I have anxiety. I just don't know why. And I don't know how to fix it.
Yeah.
So like once she like told me this is what you're going to do and this is how you're going to think and this is what you're going to tell yourself and this is, you know, how you're going to act or whatever. Then I like was like, oh, that makes so much sense. And it's just like, I mean, obviously I had to still keep going back for a while, but it just made a huge difference. And I did also start taking Xanax.
So that also. Do you take anything every day?
Not right now, but I do kind of want to go back on something only because I had to stop taking medication when I was pregnant.
Ah, yes.
And the postpartum anxiety was real. I think my biggest issue of not being on meds is like I can make it work during the day and like just stay busy and like, you know, do whatever I have to do to like keep my brain off of it. It's like once my head hits the pillow at night, I am just like thinking about everything and like thinking and thinking and thinking, and my brain just won't turn off. So I think that's the biggest help that like I think that's the biggest thing that meds are helpful for.
Yeah.
It's just like it helps me turn my brain off at night to go to sleep.
Gotcha.
Because, sleep was the sleep was the biggest reason why I ended up going on medication in the first place. Because I was, my doctor would be like, so are you sleeping? I was like, nope. No. Takes me like 3-4 hours to like actually fall asleep at night. And she was like, that's not normal.
And I was like the exact opposite. Sleep was my escape. So during the day, I'd be going crazy. And then if I just got too stressed or too anxious, I'd take a nap. Or like I couldn't wait to go to bed at night. Yeah. She's like, it's 8:30. I'm like, yeah, bedtime. Go to bed right now. I can't go to bed right now. I was like,
I couldn't. I just had to stay busy and like keep my brain distracted in order to not have anxiety.
Which I feel like was like the opposite for you. Is like, I don't know. Like you said, you just needed to like not be doing anything because that would make you feel better.
Yep.
Because if you were like too busy or you were doing something, that would actually make your anxiety worse.
Now I don't have a free week until the end of August.
Yep.
What about you? I feel like I haven't heard from you in a while. Sarah and I have been talking.
Zach are just having our own conversation. Lexi's like.
She's playing ping pong. She's being the executive producer. That's what I thought that I couldn't remember if it was a dream or not. But I had that thought before bed last night.
Nice. I like it.
Obviously I know these answers, but about medication and therapy and whatnot.
So I'm not on medication. I just don't feel like I'm like that bad. Plus obviously going through treatments, you can't really be on anything anyways.
True.
But I actually remember, I think it was like your first or your second session in therapy. You came home and you're like, I think you should go. And I was like, no, I think I'm fine. Like, I don't need
it. Why do we do that?
I know. I was like, part of me was just like, I know what my issue is, so I'm fine. Whereas you like didn't know where your anxiety was coming from. So I was like, no, it makes sense that you need it. But like, I'm fine. And I wasn't like against therapy, obviously, because I really wanted you to start going.
Yeah.
Because I knew it would help.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just like, no, like, I think I'm fine. And I think this was in like April or May that you started going
of last year. I think it was April.
And I didn't start going until the end of August. So it took me like a little while to be like, all right.
It took you a while, a couple months to get in too.
Yeah. Nah, not really.
Okay. I guess I'm wrong.
You are wrong.
Okay.
Because I remember just being like, no, I don't, I think I'm fine. And then I would just like, the more I thought about it, I was like, all right. So then I ended up emailing them.
I remember one session I told Sheena I was going to come home and tell you that she said you had to go to therapy. And she begged me not to say that.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny. No, but I remember my first session. It was the same thing as you. I was so nervous about it. Yeah. Like, to the point where I literally almost canceled it. Because I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to talk about myself. Yeah. I hate talking about myself.
I would have been so mad at you.
I hate talking about my feelings with people.
I love
that.
I love talking about myself.
No, I meant like,
I love talking about all that, but I was still like,
I just don't like when there's like a tension on me, I just don't like it. So I was like, this is literally an hour of me having to talk about myself. I was like, first of all, how am I going to fill up an hour?
Right.
Second of all, I don't know this person. Like, it's going to be weird. It's going to be awkward. I don't want to cry in front of someone.
Yeah.
And then I got there. I don't think I cried the first session, but I laughed.
I remember you telling me that you didn't cry.
But I remember being like, like I said, the first session, I don't think it was just, like, she just asked me like why I was there, all that stuff. And then I think it was my second one. More into like why I was there and like the infertility part and everything. And I just remember like losing it. And I was like, I felt so much better when I left. And I was like, this is so weird because I don't like crying in front of people. I don't even like crying in front of you.
I don't like when you cry in front of me either.
Oh, my gosh.
That's, like, so she has a specific cry room in the house that she has to go to.
That is not true.
Oh, my God. I was like, Alexi, I'm going to cry.
That's not true. My God. But I remember, like, going through that session, and I was just like, wow, like, I feel like this is going to be really helpful because, like, all the things that I was like, I shouldn't feel this way. Like, this is dumb. And she'd be like, no, like. It's okay. Like, you can have these feelings. It doesn't, there's nothing wrong with you. And I remember.
So that's a big thing with the church, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're praying enough and you're reading your Bible enough and you're in a good relationship with the Lord, then you won't have these feelings, right? Just pray harder. Mm-hmm. Just believe more. Just have more faith.
Yeah.
Why is it then when people have cancer, they go to get cancer treatment?
Yep.
Or when you have an infection, you go to the doctor and you get antibiotics. Mm-hmm. Or when you have, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like blood pressure problems, you get blood pressure meds. Why is it that you can go to the doctor and get help and get medications and all these things for physical problems and you're not sitting here saying, oh, if I just pray hard enough, my blood pressure is going to go down?
Because you can see it. It's tangible.
Yeah. Right. But it's like, I feel like mental health is I feel like people should go to I feel like everyone should, just the same way you go to your primary care doctor for a physical every year, everyone should have a mental health checkup. How's it? Just
why not?
How's your mental health? Like, just once a year even. And if you need it more than that, then you need it more. But like, it's the same thing with the doctors. You go, you get checked up once a year just to make sure everything's good. And if there's problems or issues, then you can go more or, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I don't understand. I guess.
And
I don't
now that I'm in therapy, I totally like get that. Like, before, I literally have never been against therapy.
Yeah.
But there was just a point in time where I was like, oh, I don't really need it. But now that I'm in it, I'm like, this is amazing. It's like, don't know how I've like gone this long without it. Like, I think I've been going for almost a year at this point. And I'm like, I've cut back. Like, I don't go as often anymore. But like,
yeah, like, I only go once a month, but I don't feel like I need to go any more frequently.
Right.
But I remember one time it was like 5 weeks out and then I went and I sat down and I was like, oh, we don't have enough time for everything.
Yeah.
And so I just like rapid fired and she's over there on the like,
it's so true though. Yeah. I started going in 2018 and I was going, I don't think I ever went like every week. I think maybe every 2 weeks in the beginning. And then it was like, after a few sessions of that, then it was like once a month. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of just like spread out after a while because it got to the point where she was like, I don't think you need me as much anymore. But still, like, when you're going through things or like you're having a rough time, it's like so nice to be able to have someone that you can just go to and I don't know.
I started obviously going every week. And then I remember when I switched to every 2 weeks, I was like, I feel like I'm like in a spot where I don't need every week. And she was like, I'm so proud of you. Aww. And I was like, really? She's like, yeah. She's like, this is the goal. She's like, I don't want you to have to see me every week. She's like, that's the point of therapy. And she's like, and eventually you're not going to have to see me at all.
Yeah.
I was like, we're not there yet. Yeah, though. I don't know about that. Because I actually meant a few weeks ago.
I was going to ask if you were going to tell the story.
I was like, so I was actually thinking like a few days ago, like, I feel like pretty good. Like, I think I could switch to like once a month. And then I don't even remember what had happened. I don't know if like, if it had anything to do with the treatments that we were doing, or if it was just something else going on. And I was like, yeah, there's no way that I'm ready to go to once a month. And I remember going in for that session and just like unleashing all of the things that I had been storing in my head for the last 3 days. And she was like, you're like really like up here right now. I was like, mm-hmm. And then I, like, by the end of it, she was like, you seem better. I was like, yeah, I feel a lot better. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I actually was going to ask you if I could go to once a month. And she was like, yeah, I don't think we're there yet. I was like, no, we are not. No. I am not ready for that.
Yeah.
But I feel like the fact, too, that I am able to, like, recognize that, too, is, like, a huge thing. Because even she was like, I mean, that's good that you, like, know that you're not there yet.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, for sure. Definitely not. But also, too, I think I started therapy thinking I was going to be, like, just talking about one specific thing.
Right.
And you realize it carried now, into, yeah, like, other parts of your life. I brought up so many other things going on in my life that I didn't realize were actually causing me anxiety. Right. And then I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
This is a huge thing in my life that's not good.
I remember when you came home for the first time, you were like, we didn't really talk about the fertility treatments at all.
Yeah.
And I was like, what did you talk about? And you told me, and I was like, that tracks.
But I also remember, like, you at one point when you were in therapy, like, in the beginning, I was like, have you talked about, like, this and this? And you're like, no, I don't need to. And I was like, I feel like
I had other pressing matters that I needed to attend to.
But you're like, I don't need to ever talk about that in therapy. It's fine. And I was like, okay. And then you finally brought it up. And you're like, oh, yeah, so we finally talked about this. And she had a lot to say about it. I was like, yep.
I feel like a lot of times you don't know until you know.
Yeah.
Yep.
I remember, like, when I was talking about when my therapist asked me, like, physical symptoms, like, what are the physical symptoms you're having? And I never really recognized it. I think it's because I was having those physical symptoms for so long. Like, so what she did was, after I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I do kind of have, like, a pit in my stomach. And I feel nauseous, or, like, I have a lump in my throat, whatever. She was like, I want you to think back to a time when you were a kid. Oops. I want you to think back to a time when you were a kid and you were having those same, like, you were having those same symptoms. Mm. And I was like, I don't know. Because I just had it for so long. I was just so used to, like,
that's crazy.
It was just a normal feeling. So then once she really started, like, saying, go back and think to when you were having these symptoms most as a kid. And it was always when I was in trouble. I would feel a pit in my stomach. I would feel sick to my stomach. I would feel nauseous. I would feel like my heart was racing. It was always when I was in trouble. Hmm. And so that, I feel like that's when my anxiety, like, started. Yeah. And that just carried into adulthood and everything. And we kind of, like, connected stuff of, like, when I'm having anxiety, it's because I feel like I'm in trouble or something bad's going to happen, mm-hmm. or I'm going to get punished for something I did. Or even if I didn't do something wrong, I was having anxiety thinking that something bad was going to happen.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, I was gonna be punished for some. Yeah.
No, but I know, like, my therapist does a lot of, like she makes me go through, like, the what ifs of things. And I remember the first time we did it, I can't even remember what it was about, but I remember just, like, crying through the whole thing. And she was like, this is good. And she's like, but you need to, like, she's like, why, what is it that scares you? You need to, like, figure it out.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to do this. And she was like, I don't care. You're doing it anyways. Yeah. But she was like, all right, so you're worried about this happening. What if it does? And I was like, well, then this is going to happen. She's like, okay, then what if that happens? And I was like, well, and then this and this. And then we just kind of, like, went through the whole thing. And I was like, oh, so, like, this is actually what I'm worried about. It's not actually this thing. Yeah. And so now, like, a lot of times when I'm having, like, anxiety about something, I can do that. And, like, it doesn't always help. But a lot of times it does. Yeah. Where I'm like, all right, what am I actually worried about? And it does seem to help sometimes. Yeah. And I remember telling her a couple sessions ago, I was like, so I was like really worried about this thing. And I like did the what ifs and it actually helped. She was like, she's like, it's kind of like I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Yeah, it is crazy to like get to the root of stuff. You're mm-hmm. like, okay, why am I actually feeling this way?
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Yep.
Yeah, I feel like we could talk even longer about like physical manifestations and whatnot, mm-hmm. but they're going to be different for everybody.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about the old stigma about it. And if you guys were open to, which I'm pretty sure you are because you already touched on it multiple times, mm-hmm. of how faith relates to it in its own separate stigma, because mm-hmm. I think there is a cultural stigma and then there's a religious or whatever you want to say stigma about it too. Which I don't understand. Like you said, like I take insulin for my diabetes, right?
You would die.
Yeah. I would. I'm okay with that, but I don't want.
You're okay with dying?
Yeah.
But not because you purposely were like, I don't need this insulin. Because
that's true. I just meant I'm okay with death.
You're not going to hurt yourself. Do you have thoughts?
No.
Do you have homicidal thoughts, suicidal thoughts?
No, but like, okay, so I'm going to backtrack from the stigma a little bit. But like, I've talked about that in therapy before, though, which is like what makes my anxiety confusing to me is like when we were talking about, I talk about infertility. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know we're going to have a family someday. She's like, so why are you? She obviously didn't say it like this, but like basically, so why are you anxious about the steps in between? I was like, I can't control them. Or, like, I'm fine with dying. Like, I know what's going to happen to me when I die, and I'm perfectly fine with that. So I'm like, why am I worrying about the smaller things that aren't as bad? It's baffling to me. Yeah. But my brain's just wild, I guess. But
yeah, it's a good point of can't control it. I think that's a big thing of anxiety is like because things are out of your control and we try to control things and we can't.
Yep. Which is very hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Personally, I don't think I've ever felt like a stigma from friends or family when I started talking about anxiety a couple years ago when I was like, all right, I started meds. I started therapy. Like nobody treated me differently. Mm-hmm. But I am obviously aware that that is not everybody's experience with it. Yeah. So I am very grateful that I didn't have to go through that. But I think me not having to go through that has also helped me be more outspoken about it. One, because anybody close to me who knows I'm going through it has had years to say something and haven't, and that's on them if they don't want to. But also, as I've said before, and I think the diabetes podcast, I can't remember which podcast episode, but like, I literally don't care what people think about me. If I don't know you, your opinion of me is...
I wish I could feel that way.
Yeah.
Right.
Seriously.
And I care way too much.
I feel kind of bad because I know some people struggle with it, like the self-confidence thing. But like, I don't have self-confidence issues. I don't have self-esteem issues. I have plenty of other issues, obviously. But that's why I feel... not like a responsibility, but like I want to talk about my problems because I don't care what people think about me with my problems. If you're a close friend or family, whatever, I'll care a little bit more. But at the end of the day, it's going to be my life.
Right.
And if I want to talk about something.
Together.
Yeah. It always sneaks its way in. But yeah, I just... I want to talk about things because I want to help people out, and I don't think I've felt a huge stigma directly from anybody in particular in the church, but I think I'm more aware of the generalization of mental health. I mean, I obviously appreciate our church that doesn't seem to be tutu out there, but I mean, have you guys felt stigmas either culturally or church-wise or friend family-wise?
I think friends have been really supportive. Certain, obviously, like my cousins I'm really close with, and I think
now, who are your cousins now?
That's me.
Now you guys.
And not to throw a generalization out there, but I think we feel more support from our friends and
yeah,
people our age or
yeah,
as
I was going to say, I think it's a generational thing too.
An older like, generation, yeah.
Yeah, the older generation, I feel like there's definitely like a stigma and, you know, that kind of thing. And I think there's different like churches too. Like you said, your church is really supportive. I feel like the church that I go to now is really like, even the pastor has talked about like his anxiety and he's been to therapy and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So I think that's really awesome. And he talks about like real life things and nothing's like sweep it under the rug, act like it's not there. He like really addresses like real life problems that people are having.
Yeah.
So I think that's really awesome. But you know, I think other churches like the one we grew up in definitely has a stigma around it.
Well, I think like you had said earlier too, like mental health is just like your physical health, and God gave us medicine and mm-hmm. doctors and all that stuff. So why would we not use it?
Yeah.
He never said like you have to just pray and you have to just do this and this and you'll be fine. And you have to do it harder if you're not feeling better.
Right.
He literally never I don't know why
it's like that.
So,
like,
yeah.
Why is it so, like, looked down on? Mm-hmm.
And, like, you can pray and believe that he's going to get you through it while
and you
also
can also go to
therapy.
It's not like you have to do one or the other.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And, like, just because you're in therapy doesn't mean, like, you don't have enough faith.
Right. Yeah.
It's like
and I've also heard a lot of the whole, like, I think there's also a stigma around the therapist or the psychologist or psychiatrist themselves from the church, because it's like, well, what if they're not giving you biblical advice? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, that's not their job. That's the pastor's job to give you biblical advice. Yeah. And that's your Christian friend's job to give you biblical advice. Their schooling is in like psychology and how the brain works. And like,
and I am fine with prayer and faith. Like I said on the diabetes podcast, I fully believe that I'll get healed of my diabetes. I believe in that. I'm going to take my insulin up until the time I get healed.
Because like you said before, like you might not get healed here, but eventually when you're in heaven, you will be.
Yeah.
But you're not going to be stupid now.
And I can equate that to anxiety a little bit in a second, but it reminded me of I was talking to my brother the other day, and again, talking about like prayer and health related issues. And he was like, if your gas tank is empty, you're not going to pray for your gas tank to get filled. Mm-hmm. You're going to pray for a solution. And the solution is the gas station around the corner.
Correct.
To go fill up your gas
tank. Exactly.
But my anxiety has been a lot better since the beginning of the year. And obviously I've been on medication. I've been doing therapy for a long time, which not a long time, but year and a half.
I think you started meds in like March of 2022 and then therapy in April of 2022.
2021.
It's only been a year.
With the meds?
Over a year. Yeah. You were only on the meds for like a month or two before you started therapy.
I thought I started meds when I was at my new job, which was 2021. No, I wasn't, because I wasn't on them for
the old Turks and Caicos vacation. Probably would have been much better if he was on meds then.
Yeah. No comment.
Hey, I shared them with all the ants. You could have got some from me.
I had Xanax.
Oh, he had Xanax.
Oh.
He
just wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
I think that was actually one of your turning points where you were like, I don't want to live the rest of my life like this.
Yeah, I was like wasting life experiences.
A hot mess.
I've like bailed on so many concerts, and now either musicians are either dead or not touring with the bands anymore, and like we're retired from music, and like I'll never get a chance to see them again. So it sucks. But to go back to the whole faith thing, I distinctly remember one of the, it was either the encounter nights at church, or it might have even been the week of prayer and fasting, that I got prayer for my anxiety, and like I haven't had daily anxiety since then. Like I'll have situational anxiety sometimes, mm-hmm. but even then it doesn't hold a candle to what I used to go through. Right. And people can debate with me whatever you want or say whatever you want. As I said a few minutes ago, I don't care. Yeah. It's my life.
And your life.
And it's together. but like I fully believe that the existential crisis feeling that I would feel day in and day out was actually like taken away and removed from me. And whether or not that sounds crazy, sure, I don't care. But all I know is that I feel much better since that night that I got prayed for about it. Mm-hmm.
But you're also still.
And then a few months after that, I forgot to take my anxiety meds one morning. And I was like doing a test with a patient at like 2 o'clock that afternoon. And like I was sweating profusely. And so I was like, all right, I guess I still stay on the medication. Mm-hmm. It's a balance. Like, right. It's a balance.
Yeah. Right. That's the thing. It's like you are like praying about it and like doing all that stuff, but you're still also doing the physical things that you need to, because you can do both.
I'm doing the physical things.
Okay. That's my cue. Time to go.
Did you want to add anything about a stigma or?
I think for me, I don't think there's been anything like anyone particularly that I know of. I mean, I know of people who are very open about how they think anxiety isn't
real
of the Lord, which I'm not saying it is, but.
Yeah, it's not.
But thankfully, I don't think haven't had anyone, like anyone who's ever said anything negative is someone that I don't really care about. Whether it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. But thankfully, none of my like friends or family.
No, I'd fight them.
I actually feel like the more people that I've told about it, the more that they're like, oh yeah, like I've actually been dealing with this. Or like, yeah. I've been thinking about going to therapy. And I'm like,
I feel like a lot. Show, I feel like so many people are
literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like you literally don't know who's going through right. it until you finally like open up about it. And they're like, oh yeah, like me too. And I'm like,
What's the statistic, Zach?
The Census Bureau's Household Pulse Survey found that 50% of adults ages 18 through 24 reported anxiety and depression symptoms in 2023.
50%.
That's great.
And that age range is compared to about a third of adults overall. But still, a third of adults overall is a huge percentage. Yeah. But 50% of...
One of us in this room.
One of us. Yeah, all of us. This is room is full of 100% anxiety.
Yep.
Yeah.
But controlled.
But I feel like just practicing over and over and over again, like the right way to think, and mm-hmm. like going to therapy and talking to people. I feel like for me personally, my anxiety is like 120% better than it used to mm-hmm. be.
Yeah. It's like, amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And since I've been going to therapy and stuff too, I'm able to like recognize things too. Like I was actually thinking about this the other day. You had sent me something to look at, and for whatever reason, I was so like, sometimes when I have to like make decisions on things, I get so overwhelmed that I'm like, I just can't even look at it.
Yeah.
And I was like,
was it your phone? It's called
decision fatigue.
It was my phone. That was one thing. There was something else a different day. And I have recognized like that happens a lot. And I was like, I feel like this is like one of my anxiety things. It's like when I'm already anxious about something, you add like the littlest thing and I'm just like, I can't deal with it.
Yeah. What did you say it was?
Decision fatigue.
Oh, I like that. Oh, that just reminded me of another term. I feel like this is going to go off another tangent, but I'll be able to get at that real quick. the whole toxic positivity thing.
Ooh, yep.
Yeah, that was a term that was introduced to me in therapy. Mm-hmm. And because I was telling her like what people were saying, and they're like, yeah, it's toxic positivity. I was like, mm-hmm. yeah, mm-hmm. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Is there any advice or support you want to give out to people who are struggling with it or who know somebody struggling with it?
Yeah, just get help.
Yeah.
Go to therapy. Talk to people. Mm-hmm.
That would be the advice to give to people going through it. My advice to give to people who know somebody are going through it are to not ask what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
Not ask, like, why do you need therapy or medication? Because mm-hmm. everybody's dealing with things differently.
Especially if you don't have anxiety or you don't think you have anxiety, you have literally no idea like what it feels like. Mm-hmm. So don't try to like, there's no way for you to like put yourself relate. In their shoes. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So just don't try to be like, oh, well, why? Because you're never going to understand it if you aren't going through it.
Yeah. And then obviously for the Christians or people of faith, we'll make sure you're still praying. That's fine to say that, but don't say it in a condescending right. tone when they're seeking help via mm-hmm. other channels as well. Yeah. So I guess that would be my support, because you guys summed up support for other yeah. people. Like, just okay. get help, talk mm-hmm. about it.
I feel like you can also like check in with other people, because you don't know what other people are going through. Like, you don't know if other people are having anxiety. Just ask questions, make sure your friends are okay.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, check in.
Yep.
That kind of stuff. Definitely.
Well, I mean, like, this has been a therapy session in and of itself, I think. but I am very happy that both of you decided to take that. Oh, well, I mean, you're the executive producer, Lex. You don't have a choice. But Sarah, thank you for taking time thanks out of your me. Very busy schedule mm-hmm. To talk with us about it. Something that is usually considered dark and looming cloud that like people just feel they have to live with. Hopefully yeah. somebody hears this and know that you don't have to live with it. So yeah, if anybody's listening, either when it first comes out or months or years down the road, and you're struggling with anything that we talked about or anything in general, like, shoot a DM, contact me. Like, either if I can't help you, I'm one of those people who's going to find a way to help you, even if it's just directing you to somebody more knowledgeable than me, because believe it or not, those people do exist. It's crazy.
There's people smarter than you.
There are wow. some people smarter than me, believe it or not.
I cannot believe that.
But thank you all for listening. Keep an eye out for future episodes. I really appreciate the support so far, and I hope you keep enjoying the episodes. See ya.